Brahmane. In the absolute. Chat. And. Atmanam. The self. Param. The supreme. Brahma. Absolute. Tata. Also. Atmani. In himself. Vikshamanaha. Thus observing. Vihaya. Giving up. Iksham. Reservation. Asmat. From this process. Upararama. Retired. Ha. Certainly. Translation. King Malayadwaja could thus observe that the Supersoul was sitting by his side, and that he, as the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the Supersoul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus, he ceased from such activities. So you can repeat. King Malayadwaja could thus observe that the Supersoul was sitting by his side, and that he is the individual soul, was sitting by the side of the Supersoul. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. Thus he ceased from such activities. So purport by His Divine Grace, Sesi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the advanced stage of devotional service, the devotee does not see anything separate between his own interests and those of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both interests become one, for the devotee does not act for a separate interest. Whatever he does in the interest of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At that time, he sees everything in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. Having attained the stage of understanding, he sees no distinction between the spiritual and material worlds. In perfect vision, the material world becomes the spiritual world due to its being the external energy of the Supreme Lord. For the perfect devotee, the energy and the energetic are none different. Thus, the so-called material world becomes spiritual. Sarvam kalv idam brahma. Everything is intended for the service of the Supreme Lord, and the expert devotee can utilize any so-called material thing for the Lord's service. One cannot serve the Lord without being situated on the spiritual platform. Thus, if a so-called material thing is dovetailed in the service of the Lord, it is no longer to be considered material. Thus, the pure devotee, in his perfect vision, sees from all angles. Okay? So, pare brahmani chatmanam param rama tatatmani vishvano vihayaksham asmat uparharamaha. So, Om Ganatu Miranda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shi Gurave Namaha. So, here's described as super soul. Yeah, super soul means the highest soul. And we are tiny, and the super soul is big. And so, in the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there's many descriptions of the super soul's position, how he manifests himself, and also his function. So he manifests himself, of course, we understand, in everyone's heart, in every atom, inside and outside. Bahir Nishingho, Radaye Nishingho, as we're chanting every morning in reference to Lord Nishingadev, you're inside Lord Nishingadev, you're outside. Of course, it's not that Krishna in the form of Lord Nishingadev is actually inside and outside, but Krishna in his form as the super soul, which is the Shiro Dokshoi Vishnu, is inside and outside. So, who is non-different than Lord Nrsingadev? So that's how the Supersoul exists. But at the same time, even though he's inside and outside, he's not within this material energy that's described in the Bhagavad Gita. He's divided in the and undivided simultaneously, which is interesting. You know, it's like a chintu beta beta tattva. He's divided and undivided. And the example Srila Prabhupada gives in this regard is the sun, which appears to be divided in different bodies of water, or the moon, which appears to be divided in different bodies of water that are reflecting the image of the sun. But actually the sun is located far beyond this earthly plane. So the sun's presence is manifested in the water. Whereas, and of course, in common usage we say, look at the sun on the water. But the sun is not in the water. But it's a little bit more than that. How the supersoul exists. It's not exactly it's just the image of the supersoul in the heart. Because the supersoul's function is really interesting because, and also in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 13th chapter, Krishna describes he is the source of all the senses. Like whatever you perceive, so it's not just the one-way thing. Like for example, if you see the sun's reflection in the river or in the lake, it's just a one-way thing. You see the sun's reflection, but you're not transmitting up to the sun. You understand? It's something like people used to have these devices before we had cell phones that messaging, you know, messaging things. You understand what I mean? They would get a message, but it was just a one-way message. Do you follow? I'm saying, you know, it was a one-way message. You get someone calls so-and-so. Nowadays, they have a cell phone, so you don't get a message. They just call you, and you can call back. It's two-way exchange. So in the same way with the Supersoul, it's a two-way exchange. He actually experiences everything you're experiencing. Of course, not with the same mentality. You know, when you experience things, you filter your experience through your subtle body. That is your mentality. So, I mean, for example, like you like a particular type of food and whatever mode of nature you happen to be in. And so you experience it in terms of the shape of your subtle body, whereas the super soul, he's detached. He can experience that, you know, the taste of the pizza or whatever it is. But it's not that he's experiencing the same way as you were experiencing. But it's described as the source of all senses, and he's actually experiencing everything at the same time. He's also the permitter. He permits, you know, what do they say? Man proposes, God disposes. Or, you know, God permits you to do things. And he's the overseer. So in this way, these are some of the descriptions from the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. The Supersoul exists. And so I was thinking about the Supersoul in relationship to something I read in the newspaper the other day. Not about the Supersoul. It was about a girl who had two heads. I don't know if you read about this. It was really interesting. That, you know, in other words, there were two personalities. You understand? Two heads. So she had, anyway, it wasn't a girl. I guess it was two girls who had one body. And they had a conjoined, you know, anyway, conjoined nervous system, conjoined circulatory system and everything like that. And so I was thinking it's like two souls in one body like that. And so the description was that whenever they did anything, they had to just, like, have a meeting. Because Ravana had one soul, but he had 10 heads. So he had, like, a GBC meeting every time there was some discussion, you know, with 10 people. I don't know how they organized it, who facilitated it, or whatever. But it's interesting, like, this girl would... So it's I was comparing that to the super souls... manifestation in our body, because we have two souls in the body, the super soul and the individual soul. However, the super soul is not just someone who's bargaining with you trying to enjoy the material world and you're making some you know, mediation or concession between each other, you know, who will get the enjoyment tonight and who will get the enjoyment tomorrow. It was interesting, actually. I was thinking, how is it functioning? You know, was it like that? Anyway, so many weird things happen. How are they? And it, you know, because how do they do things? And, oh, actually, one has one side of the body and the other one has another side of the body. That was the description given. Because, it, anyway, left and hand, whatever it is. But one controls, so they somehow are the coordinated different things like eating, you know, with two hands. And so they, I guess they talk, now you move your hand, now you move your head. But the super souls, not to go too far into that description. So the super soul existence is not exactly like that. And so he is also, another point that we left out is that he is, his purpose being there is to bring us back to himself. And he is watching us. The description given in the Upanishads is there's two birds in the same tree, and one is watching the other bird enjoying the fruits of the tree and waiting for the other bird to turn back to him. That's from the Shvetasvatara Upanishad. So the super soul ultimately is our best friend. It's not simply someone who we're making concessions with or agreements with to enjoy the material world. He's our friend. And when you have someone who is your best friend with you all the time, who is your well-wisher with you all the time, then as stated here, since both were together, there was no need for separate interest. Thus, he ceased from such activity. So what are the separate interests? The separate interests are the different desires that, or needs that we have in this material world. Like the need, I mean, one of the basic needs we have is a need for love and friendship and all those other nice things. And so we're seeking to fulfill that particular need through so many activities, you know, whether it's different relationships we have with friends or lovers, or relationships we have with animals, the need for love. But that need for love can be fulfilled simply by connecting with the super soul. Because I realized that. Now, I'm not saying I realized the super soul, but I realized that when I first started chanting the holy name of Krishna. I don't see the super soul. I'm not claiming to see the super soul. I know he exists because I have faith in Srila Prabhupada's words. But I do claim to chant Hare Krishna, that I'm chanting Hare Krishna. And so the first thing I realized practically when I was chanting the Lord's holy names was that my friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, my best friend, well-wisher, Bhaktaram, Jagatapasam, Sarvalokamaheshram, Suridam Sarvabhutam Gatwamam Shantim Richati, that he was always with me when I chanted his name. Actually, that's more important for us, rather than just thinking of the super soul, which we understand exists, is connecting with Krishna's name. Because Krishna, Nama Chintamani, Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Purnashuddha Nityamukto, Vinatvama Nama Namano, that Krishna is there in his holy name. And he's there in his holy name in his original transcendental form. And when we chant the name Krishna, Govinda, Krishna, Shyama Sundara is manifest right in front of us dancing on our tongues. And so when we chant that name, then the satisfaction is there, as described here, that if we really connect with the name, that we will cease from such activities that indicate that we have a separate interest other than the interest of the Lord. Because basically our loving propensity will be satisfied. We'll understand that Krishna is providing everything. He's protecting us, as two of the surrendering principles listed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu go. And then we'll come to the stage, like someone like Madhavendra Puri. Let's take him as an example. That Madhavendra Puri was simply chanting the Lord's holy names and depending on Krishna, he didn't even make any endeavor to get food. There's many examples like that. He didn't make any endeavor to get food, and Krishna personally brought him milk. So, in other words, there was, Prabhupada said, he ceased from such activities. Of course, that's a very high stage of devotional service. I'm not advocating that we artificially, prematurely do that, that we just don't go to work anymore and, you know, we cease from, I mean, even me, I cook anyway, so cease from cooking for the devotees, Of course, that's spiritual. That's actually Krishna's activity. But cease from doing things from ourselves. I mean, that's really a high stage of devotional service. You don't make any endeavor for yourself. You make endeavors for others. You make endeavors for Krishna as devotees and for bringing people to Krishna consciousness. But ultimately, you just like let Krishna take care of, you know, if there's supposed to be food, it'll show up. And if there's not supposed to be food, it won't show up. Can you imagine that? I mean, I can't say that I'm that surrendered, you know. If there's supposed to be heat, it'll show up. If there's supposed to be not heat, it'll show up. I'm not going to make any endeavor to cut firewood or anything like that or keep my place warm or whatever. It's just, if it's supposed to happen, it'll happen. And that's pretty amazing, that high stage. And like I said, Madhavendra Puri, he did that. There's many examples of other devotees who took that. That's called the Paramahansa stage of sannyas. Like in the original, in the first stage of sannyas, that's Bahudat, then one does make endeavor. Not only does he make endeavor, but he just waits for his family to bring him food. He lives in the outskirts of the village that he used to live in, and his son, not his wife, but his wife will cook for him, which is really interesting. And his son will bring him, or other relatives will bring him the food. And then after that, there's Madhukari. He still makes some endeavor for food, right? He goes door to door. Can I please have a chapati? Madhu means like a bee. Can I please have a chapati, a slice of pizza, and some pakoras? So door to door. Yeah, I find a lot of devotees in Govardhan doing Madhukari. They actually go from one door to another, and people are very hospitable. They give what the devotees or what the sadhus want. And then after the Madhukari, then there's the Parvajakacharya, in which one wanders. And at that point, one starts to get a little detached from making endeavors for his bodily necessities. And finally, there's Paramahamsa, where one, really, at a Paramahamsa stage, one just really remains locked up, and then whatever Krishna sends, that's what he accepts. No more endeavor, no more going on Amazon.com, no more going to Walmart, none of that. And it's just, you know, Krishna wants, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to accept him. If Krishna wants, you know, I won't eat today. Like that Avadhuta Brahmana that Prahlad Maharaj came across. He was pretty fatty. Sorry about that word. Anyway, so he was pretty, let's say he was challenged horizontally. So he was big. And so Prahlad Maharaj was very surprised. You know, why are you so big? Like, you're just lying on the road. He said, well, it's like a python man's described. Sometimes I eat nicely, sometimes I don't eat nicely according to Krishna's arrangement. So I'm not saying we imitate that. However, that's the perfect stage when one is 100% Krishna conscious, that all of his needs are being satisfied, his need for love, his need for companionship, his need for society, his need for food, his need, everything is fulfilled by his connection with the Super Soul. And then one is no longer in anxiety. Anxiety comes. That's a description in the Bhagavatam, Dvitiya. When one has this duality, one sees something separate from Krishna happening. That's when anxiety happens. When you think that something in this world is happening that's not under the direction of Krishna. And of course, anger happens when you understand it's under the direction of Krishna and you don't like what he's doing. That's another point, you know, I wanted to bring out. There's anxiety. You think about it. Of course, anger also comes when you don't see things under the direction of Krishna and you think everything is happening by chance, or you're the victim of some circumstance, or, you know, or the stars aren't proper. I mean, just like I gave the example many years ago when we started this temple, we couldn't move some of the part, not of this building, but of the trailer we used to have. We couldn't move it onto the property because it was so muddy, it kept raining like every day. I mean, winter and fall were like raining every day, and the mud was like this deep. And when we would go to the store, I mean, people get angry with us because we'd be, there'd be a big trail of mud behind us. I mean, that's how bad it was. I mean, you can't imagine how bad the winters were, so cold and rainy, and isn't it? Yeah. I mean, because there's nothing you can do about it. I mean, and the mud here is like, it's clay. So it sticks to you, and when you first clear the land, because we had just cleared the land, it's like quicksand, basically. So you sink into it as you walk, isn't it? So anyway, what happened, and just the point I'm making about anger, the point is I was always in anxiety because it would never stop raining and we couldn't move the other half of the trailer that we had. We had a double-wide trailer. We couldn't move the other half to meet the first half. And so finally, the whole winter, we had to just like have the programs in an open half of a double-wide trailer with a plastic sheet over it. And it was so cold, at that time it was very cold, that the Achman cup with the spoon would freeze in the Achman cup, and our feet would freeze to the floor, and we had to wear our sleeping bags in the morning program, just wrapped around it with our head just like peeping out. Do you remember that? Yeah, the head just peeping out from my sleeping bag. Samsara davana lila loka tranaya karanya ganagana chvam. Sometimes you close up even the face portion, so just the eyes are showing. So the point I'm making is that I also experienced anger and anxiety. I got so angry one time it kept raining. I was angry at Indra, not at Krishna, that I threw a stone in the air. I just said, "You damn it, damn Indra!" Like that, like I was going to hit Indra, some stupid thing like that. So, obviously, I mean, it rained more because Indra got angry. I wasn't able to lift Okinochi Mountain over. Over our temple. But so the point is I wasn't seeing Krishna there. I wasn't seeing, what is Krishna doing? Why is Krishna doing that? And, so there was anxiety and anger in that thing. Wasn't angry at Krishna, but some people do get angry at Krishna when things don't go the way they want. Angry at God. So when one sees, if I was to have seen God behind these things, which I can see in retrospect, hindsight is 20/20, as they say, you can, or Monday morning quarterbacking, all these other things. So I could see there was Krishna's arrangement of my own purification, and Krishna made it a struggle, and, life is still a struggle. But in other words, it's Krishna doing all these things. Sometimes I just wonder, why don't I have more facility? Why aren't there more people here in the temple? All these other things. We may wonder like that, or whatever. The weather's bad. People don't like me. Whatever. And then I could just look at the stars and say, "Well, it's my Saturn period or something." People blame the stars a hell of a lot. They say it's my the Sani period, Saturn period. So, but it's actually Krishna. So, because the super soul is there. It's not that, it's just some figment of someone's imagination who wrote the Bhagavad Gita. The super soul is there. Krishna is in every atom. He is directing the wanderings of the living entity, Yantra, Rudani, Maya, who are seated as on the machine of the material energy. Yantra means machine. And so whatever Krishna arranges, that's what's meant to be. Of course, whatever you arrange, that's a different subject matter. You can't say, I'm abusive towards you. It's Krishna's arrangement. Sometimes people do that. They yell and scream or hit you, and they say, "As Krishna arranged it, don't blame me." But that's not the point I'm making. So the super soul is everywhere. He's directing the wanderings of all the living entities. He is giving you intelligence, remembrance, and forgetfulness. It is a fact. And so we should develop faith in that, and faith also that the super soul, and actually in his original form is Krishna Govinda, is there in his holy names. And be continually connecting with him and making friendship with him. And loving exchanges with him through the chanting of the holy name. So anyway, so this is some of the points I wanted to make about this particular point. So King Malaya Dwaja came to that realization. So we should come to that realization as soon as possible. Krishna is with us. He's always with us. Your best friend is with you. And there's nothing to worry about. Nothing to get an anxiety about, right? Okay, any other any questions or comments? Yeah.
In principle, Krishna is with you all the time, and then there are other people who don't have that understanding.
Yeah.
And you are interacting with them.
Yeah.
And there may not be an amount of goodness, and that may be contagious. And conflict between two people trying to execute Krishna consciousness or devotion and service, and one is working in the dark. For example,
yeah.
And the other person is proposing, wait till dawn, and violent argument results. I'm speaking from immediate experience.
Yeah.
How to deal with the other person and not abandon in the dark?
Well, first deal with yourself. First realize that Krishna's put you in that situation to deal with the other person. It's not by accident. And secondly, realize that super soul is simply reciprocating with that person's desires, giving that person intelligence, remembrance, forgetfulness, like 1515, the Bhagavad Gita, Manta Kmati, Gyanavapovanam, which we all know, that he's giving the person forgetfulness, remembrance, and knowledge according to that person's desire. And then also understand the super soul's mood, and it's the mood of compassion, and tolerance, and patience. I often talk about how patient the super soul is to be sitting in your heart, just waiting for you for billions and trillions of births to say Hare Krishna to him. It's just that, going back to that example of the two girls in one body. Can you imagine if just one waited for the other one to say Hare? Not Hare Krishna, but to acknowledge their presence, that'd be quite frustrating. I mean, think about it. Think you're one of the heads of the two-headed girl. And the other one doesn't even, just gives you the cold shoulder. For a few thousand years, you're just like, hey, I'm here. Shut up. And that's what we're doing. If you think about it, that's what we're doing with Super Soul. The super soul is sending us messages. I mean, maybe we can't perceive directly, but sending messages through Shastra, through saintly persons, through common sense, and other things that, I'm here. And we're saying, shut up. Can you imagine how frustrated it would be just to be someone's head, the second head on the body? What? Anyway. I mean, how frustrating it would be just to sit around for a long period of time like that. Imagine if you were the second head and you didn't have any control of the body. That'd be really frustrating. That would be really frustrating. So the super soul doesn't get frustrated. He has unlimited tolerance, compassion, patience. So we should understand that our best friend, the super soul, has all these things. And so we should serve him by being in tune. He says, no separate interests, it says here. Since both were together, there was no need for separate interests. So our interest is perfectly attuned or resonates with the super soul's interest, which is to be so patient, to allow someone to choose voluntarily to serve Krishna. And so that, so our business, like the Super Soul's business, is a facilitator. That's an interesting description. Just like sometimes the guru is described as the boss, but it's not really the boss. I mean, although one can accept like that, one's absolutely surrendered. But the guru actually facilitates the disciple becoming Krishna conscious. If he was simply the boss, he would just simply say, surrender. And the disciple would say, yes, sir. But he facilitates. He engages the disciple according to the disciple's psychophysical nature. In the same way, the super soul facilitates us in getting kicked in the material world, getting frustrated with the desire to enjoy separately, and ultimately coming in contact with the proper spiritual master. Like when one wants Krishna, Krishna sends guru. So this, the super soul is like a facilitator. But his ultimate goal of all the facilitation is to bring you to the point of loving and connecting with him. So we should not emulate precisely, but we should imbibe that particular mood and spirit of the super soul when dealing with others. And then and that way we'll, you know, you can't be patient and tolerant artificially. I mean, like if you tell someone, just tolerate and be patient, it doesn't work. You know, just be patient. You take tell a little kid, you know, who's waiting for his meal, just be patient. It doesn't work. So if I tell you or anybody who's dealing with someone who doesn't want to serve or whatever, want to serve Krishna, just be patient. But if you actually explain how the super soul is doing these things, and we're supposed to connect with the super soul and serve the super soul and resonate with the super soul, then the quality of patience can manifest itself more easily in our hearts. Like if you look at, I mean, of course, the manifest representative of the super soul for us is Srila Prabhupada, is the divine grace of Srila Prabhupada. So if you look at Srila Prabhupada's qualities, and you hear about Srila Prabhupada manifesting his compassion, it's very likely you will develop not the same compassion, because Prabhupada is very much, he has unlimited compassion, but at least you'll develop similar compassion to that of Srila Prabhupada. And that's why it's advantageous to hear not only compassion, but determination and all the qualities of Srila Prabhupada. That's why we hear about Srila Prabhupada, not simply to ooh and awe and gawk like that, but to be like Srila Prabhupada. Not imitation, but like Srila Prabhupada, following his footsteps. So when we hear Prabhupada's pastimes, of course, the devotee should read the Prabhupada Leelamrita and the other books by Srila Prabhupada. It's not simply something interesting, like you read about some sage like Agastya Muni who drank the whole ocean. I mean, that's really interesting, but you're not going to do that. Isn't it Agastya Muni? He drank the whole ocean because the demigods wanted to fight with the demons, and the demons were actually hiding in the ocean bed, so he had to drink the whole thing. Later on, he digested it, and they couldn't let it out. You understand? He drank it, and they said, all right, we killed the demons, so now time to let the ocean go back. He burped. Bah. And then the ocean was, you know, digested by him. A lot of salt water. He didn't get high blood pressure or anything. I was thinking about that. So, you know, that's an interesting thing. But really, you know, it's hard to resonate with that. You know, what does it do for me? Am I supposed to just, like, go down to the beach and start drinking? Huh? Yeah, I mean, there's certain things we can get from it, like compassion and service and self-surrender. But when you read about Srila Prabhupada, you know, it really brings it down to earth for us. Because, you know, Srila Prabhupada went to the United States with very little money. So we should be ready to go and preach Krishna consciousness in the same way, not depending so much on external affairs, depending on the super soul. So that, anyway, there's many ways that we can connect and become inspired by hearing about the external representative super soul. The internal is the Chaitanya Guru, the guru in the heart. And so Srila Prabhupada's pastimes are meant to not just entertain us, but to be something that we become inspired and imbibe and follow in the footsteps of. That's important. When dealing with super soul, it's very important to deal with the external manifestation, external representative of super soul. Does everyone understand that? So that's why everybody should regularly hear about Srila Prabhupada's pastimes. Yeah. Apropos.
Picking up on exactly what you're saying, I've been listening actually to Prabhupada's memories. One of the reasons why
so yeah, as far as possible, we shouldn't institutionalize those things.
What?
We shouldn't do those things that Prabhupada didn't do, unless it'll help spread the movement. I mean, anyway, you know, why add things unnecessarily? Prabhupada's philosophy was.